Victor.
And I'm admitting one more party. Okay, Mr. Chairman, the time is 2:02 p.m. The recording is on. I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the regular meeting of the commission, February 24th, 2021. Before we begin, I will take a roll call in alphabetical order so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Barry?
Present.
Commissioner Chavez?
Here.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Here.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Here.
Commissioner Hankins?
Here.
Commissioner Streeter?
Here.
Commissioner Shaw?
Here.
Commissioner Winkler?
Here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, is also present. Thank you. This meeting is open to the public and is being conducted telephonically due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It will be recorded in its entirety. For everyone participating in today's meeting, please remember to identify yourself first for the recording each time you are called upon to speak. All participants are expected to conduct themselves in a respectful manner at all times and not to interrupt the commission deliberations. If the commission believes that any person's conduct is disruptive, that person will be placed on mute at the direction of the chairman. Further disruption may lead to that person's removal from the telephonic meeting. When the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll call. I will conduct the roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission's meeting of February 10th, 2021. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the minutes of the commission's regular session meeting of February 10th, 2021.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
All in favor? We're going to take a roll call. Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Chavez?
Aye.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Aye.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Aye.
Commissioner Hankins?
Aye.
Commissioner Streeter?
Aye.
Commissioner Shaw?
Aye.
Commissioner Winkler?
Aye.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, aye. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. The hearing officer's reports are all publicly accessible on our web. The site is www.ct.gov/FOI through links on the agenda for today's meeting. I will call the docket. If you are a party and wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order they are called. All right. First item is docket number FIC 2020-0161, Terrence Burton versus James Rovella, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection et al. Are you there, Mr. Burton?
Yes, I'm here, Burton, Terrence.
Shall we mark that ready?
Yes.
I'll mark it ready. Next is docket number FIC 2019-0353, Michael Picard versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection et al. Are you there, Mr. Picard? Mr. Is there anyone Picard, there on this matter?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to say Mr. Picard let us know just recently that he will not be participating. We thought that he would be, but he is not going to be participating.
Thank you. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. Not seeing anyone present, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? I'll take a roll call. All in favor? Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Chavez?
Aye.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Aye.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Aye.
Commissioner Hankins?
Aye.
Commissioner Streeter?
Aye.
Commissioner Shaw?
Aye.
Commissioner Winkler?
Aye.
And Owen Egan is aye. Motion passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2019-0658, Morris Scoletti versus Director, Department of Human Resources, Town of Stratford et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Alfred P. Bruno, on behalf of the Town of Stratford, sir, respondent.
Is Mr. Scoletti there?
It's my understanding he will not be here this afternoon, but I'd let the Madam Secretary speak.
Would you like to be heard on this matter, sir?
I would just like to say that we support the complaint being dismissed.
I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. Not seeing the complainant here and no objection of the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call vote of those in favor. Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Chavez?
Aye.
Commissioner Einhorn? Commissioner Einhorn?
Aye.
Commissioner Fizeshi?
Aye.
Commissioner Hankins?
Aye.
Commissioner Streeter?
Aye.
Commissioner Shaw?
Aye.
Commissioner Winkler?
Aye.
And Owen Egan is aye. Motion, the matter is adopted unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0112, Joshua Malaro versus Chief Administrative Officer, Office of the Mayor, City of New London et al. Is Mr. Malaro there, please? Is there anyone from the City of New London there?
Attorney Brian Estep on behalf of the City of New London in support of the proposed dismissal.
I'll call for Mr. Malaro one more time. Mr. Malaro, are you there? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. Not seeing the complainant here and no objection of the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call vote of those in favor. Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Chavez?
Aye.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Aye.
Commissioner Fizeshi?
Aye.
Commissioner Hankins?
Aye.
Commissioner Streeter?
Aye.
Commissioner Shaw?
Aye.
Commissioner Winkler?
Aye.
And Owen Egan is aye. It's adopted unanimously. Next is FIC 2020-0135, Christopher Peak and New Haven Independent versus Benjamin Cruz, Principal, Achievement First, Hartford High School et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, Mark Samaruga from Pullman and Conley for the respondents.
Do you have any objection to this matter?
I have no objection except small thing. There was a correction of the spelling of someone's name.
What is that?
It's on page 5, paragraph 21. And the very first line, it says Attorney Malika Forbes. It should be spelled M-E-L-I-K-A.
Okay, thank you. Do you know if Mr. Christopher Peak is attending this hearing?
He Attorney wasn't sure, to my knowledge, so I don't
Mr. think Chairman, I Mr. Chairman, it's Colleen Murphy here. As Attorney Samaruga was saying, Mr. Peak said he may join us, but he may not. So I assume he's not at this point.
Okay.
And I think we can make that correction just as a scrivener's error, so we can correct it.
Administratively. Okay. So I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. Seeing that the complainant's not present and that no objection to the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call vote of those in favor. Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Chavez?
Aye.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Aye.
Commissioner Fizeshi?
Aye.
Commissioner Hankins?
Aye.
Commissioner Streeter?
Aye.
Commissioner Shaw?
Here.
Commissioner Winkler?
Aye.
And Owen Egan is aye. It's adopted unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Attorney Samaruga. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0153, Howard Lasser versus Finance Director, Town of Brookfield and Town of Brookfield. Is Mr. Lasser there, please?
Yes, I'm here.
Would you like this matter marked ready?
Yes.
You'd like to be heard, sir, is that correct?
I would speak in favor of the hearing officer's recommendation in the event that the town is present to object.
So you want
the chairman?
Yes.
Attorney Tom Beecher on the line. I represent the town of Brookfield, and we would like to be heard, please.
Okay, we'll mark this ready then.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. So we'll take up the cases now that have been marked ready. This is docket number FIC 2020-0161, Terrence Burton versus James Ravella, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection et al. Mr. Burton, are you there?
Yes.
And is there anyone there from the State of Connecticut?
Yes, Attorney Janet Ainsworth from DESPE.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Burton, would you like to begin?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
Do we have the Executive Director to make the regular announcements?
Oh, excuse me. Thank you. I apologize.
Sure, that's right. Thank you. As everyone has previously heard, this matter is being recorded in its entirety, so there is no need to request your matter to be recorded. If you want a recording, there are numerous options for you to get it. But second, pursuant to our regulations, oral argument is 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties. And Mr. Chairman, if I might just add one more item relative to a matter you adopted, which was 2019-0353 involving Mr. Picard. I do note that Assistant Attorney General Terrence O'Neill indicated that he was going to be participating, and you did adopt that matter. We're just trying to ascertain if he chose not to participate or if there was a technical issue. So if that should arise, we will deal with that as appropriate.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm going to recall the first matter. Thank you, Attorney Murphy. The first matter is docket number FIC 2020-0161. Terrence Burton versus James Ravella, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection et al. And I understand, Mr. Burton, you're there? Mr. Terrence Burton, are you there? Terrence Burton. Have we lost him? Is there anyone there from the State of Connecticut?
Yes, Attorney Ainsworth.
So we lost Mr. Burton.
I can reconnect him, Mr. Matthew Reed. If you'd like me to attempt a reconnection right now, I can do that.
Yes, please.
Okay. I'm making the call through this platform, so you will all hear the call as it takes place. Hello.
Osborne, AMP.
Hey, it's Matthew Reed at the Freedom of Information Commission again. It seems like we lost Mr. Burton. Is he still there?
I'm sorry?
It's Matthew Reed at the Freedom of Information Commission. Terrence Burton was on the line with us. We're in the middle of a commission meeting, and he dropped off the call. Is he still somewhere near you or wherever you would transfer the call to?
Oh, no, he's not. He came out and said it was all done, and they sent them back up.
Okay. Well, they had just asked somebody else a question, so it's not done. We have another matter that we can hear. Is it at all possible for them to bring him back, and then we'll come back to him if we leave this line open?
Hold on. Let me put you on hold real quick. Let me see if I can get in touch with the officer that was handling it.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, hold on 1 second.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'll leave it up to you. I'm not sure if you want to just hold here for a moment or if perhaps we'll hear back from him quickly.
Why don't we wait just a minute?
Hello, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. She's going to grab him again to bring him back downstairs to this area and be probably just a couple minutes.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to take another matter and then we'll come back to him. So please have him wait.
Okay. So you guys are going to hang up now and then just call back?
Mr. Chairman, if we could keep this line open, that works best for us because we're dialed in through the platform on which we're conducting this larger meeting. So if it's okay with you to keep this line open, that would be helpful.
That's okay
yeah,
with
that's
me.
Fine.
Okay. And we'll leave the line open and then we'll come back to him, but please have him just wait until we come back to him.
Will do.
Thank you very much.
All right. Not a problem.
Okay. So we're going to pass the Terrence Burton matter, and we're going to move on to docket number FIC 2020-0153, Howard Lasser versus Finance Director, Town of Brookfield, et al. Mr. Lasser, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Is there anyone there from the Town of Brookfield?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Tom Beecher.
Okay. So, Mr. Beecher, would you like to begin?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, Commission members. My name is Tom Beecher, and I represent the Town of Brookfield and its Finance Director. The Town of Brookfield has no problem providing citizens with a copy of a data set that is the final set of numbers on a spreadsheet draft budget sent to the Board of Finance. But it does not want to be required to provide the computer programs that actually generate those reports or records. With all due respect to Mr. Reed, who's the hearing officer in this matter, he oversimplified an alleged distinction between this matter and the three commission decisions of Llewellyn, Frommer, and DeCara. In fact, this draft decision effectively overrules all three of your prior decisions. In the DeCara decision, the complainant wanted a budget worksheet in Excel format. The commission relied on General Statute Section 1-212A and 1-211, in ruling in favor of the town. The commission decided that case as follows, and I quote from paragraph 10 through 17 of that decision. It is found that the requested budget is made available to the public by the respondents in PDF format. It is also found that the requested record is a computer stored public record within the meaning of 1-211. The sole issue in this case is whether the complainant is entitled to receive the proposed budget in the Excel computer format he requested. It is found that Section 1212A covers, generally, the methods by which the public agency may choose in its discretion to provide a public record to a requester. It is found that 1-211A specifically covers computer stored public records. It is found that paper, disks, tapes, electronic storage devices, or mediums are all methods of delivery within the meaning of Section 1-211A, while PDF and Excel format are two proprietary electronic document formats among several used to physically arrange data, characters, fields, records, and files for document use and delivery. Section 211A only provides the requester with the option to request a specific method of delivery of non-exempt computer stored data, and that the public agency is required to use the method of delivery requested if it reasonably can do so, or have it done, e.g. have the data copied or burned to a disk by some other agency. Section 211A does not, however, by any of its terms, obligate a public agency to provide a copy of a computer-stored public record in the computer format requested by a requester. It is found that the respondents are not required by the FOI Act to provide the data in the Excel format requested, and it is concluded that the respondents did not violate the FOI Act by denying the complainant's request. In that DeCara case, the town said it could not create the documents in Excel because it did not use that program. Well, that's fair enough. However, this commission could have just simply said the town doesn't use Excel, so providing the PDF format was acceptable. This commission didn't say that. You held just what I just read to you. The town of Brookfield's position is that this is exactly the same case here. Mr. Lasser is entitled to the document, but he is not entitled to the Excel program that created the document or data. As this commission said in those decisions, Section 1211A does not obligate the town to provide a copy of a computer-stored record in the particular format requested by Mr. Lasser. In the Llewellyn decision, the complainant had asked for a budget in Excel, CSV, text, or database format. In other words, he wanted an executable file. The town sent PDFs. The complainant complained that he did not want PDFs. Paragraph 13 of the commission decision notes, with approval, that the town said that they sent the records in PDF format to protect the integrity of the information contained in the documents. The subject records were contained within the town Munis system, which many municipalities around the state of Connecticut use for accounting and town finances. This commission, again, relied on sections 1-211 and 1-212A in rendering its decision in favor of the town in that case. This commission in Llewellyn held that providing PDFs was fine, and the commission used the exact same language from the DeCare decision in the Llewellyn decision, and I quote just two lines from that decision. Quote, notwithstanding the complainant's contention, Section 1-211A only provides the requester with the option to request a specific method of delivery of non-exempt computer stored data, and that the public agency is required to use the method of delivery requested if it reasonably can do so or have it done, e.g. have the data copied or burned to a disk by some agency. Section 1211A does not, however, by any of its terms, obligate a public agency to provide a copy of a computer-stored public record in the computer format requested by a requester. It is concluded that while the complainant is entitled pursuant to 1-211A to request that a copy of the records be provided to him, that is, delivered in a certain manner, respondents are not required by the FOI Act to provide the data in the format requested, and it is concluded that the respondents did not violate the FOI Act by denying the complainant's request in that regard. Unquote. Again, this commission used the very same language and reached the very same conclusion as in DeCara. The town is not obligated to send the documents in a particular format. Today's draft decision, if you took it to its logical conclusion, shouldn't this commission in the Llewellyn case have ordered the Fairfield Superintendent of Schools to grant the complainant direct access to the Munis system so that he could see the various variables used to create documents and spreadsheets and run his own calculations and checks through the system? There is no difference between that and this draft decision ordering the town of Brookfield, in this case, to share an executable computer software program called Excel. The Frommer decision has the very same conclusions as the Dakar and Llewellyn decisions, and in fact, the Dakar decision cites the Frommer case. In Frommer, the complainant asked for the Word versions, but was given PDFs. The original documents were, in fact, actually created in Word format, but it was determined by this commission that it was appropriate to distribute those documents as PDFs. See paragraph 13 of that particular decision. A record is a completed document or data set. A computer program simply is not a record. The data set within a computer program is a public record, but the computer program itself that generates the budget is not a record. Microsoft Excel is a software program produced by Microsoft that allows users to organize and calculate data using formulas and functions to create a spreadsheet. The Slate versus Westport FOI decision, which is also cited by the hearing officer in this case, does not hold what the hearing officer says it holds. In that particular case, the Slate case, the complainant asked for a Word document because he wanted the metadata as well contained within the Word document. This commission gave the town of Westport the option to either produce the Word version or produce paper copies of the metadata and the document, or produce them both in some other format, which of course would include PDFs. Look at paragraph 14 of the Slate decision. As I said, this draft decision ordering the town to produce the Excel program is contrary to those four decisions in section 1-211 of the FOI. The draft decision in this case today also refers to the Connecticut Supreme Court decision of pictometry. But that decision, while complicated and lengthy, that decision merely referred to the fact that this commission has the discretion to order a record changed from an unredacted to a redacted format. That's not the same thing as the proposition that a computer program is a record. I would also note that calling it an Excel file is a misnomer. It's really an Excel program. The record to be disclosed is this. What did the Excel spreadsheet show at the very snapshot in time when it was completed and ready to be sent to the Board of Finance members? That's what's important here. It is that snapshot of data that is the record. It is that snapshot of data in PDF form that is what Mr. Lasser and anyone else is entitled to, not the very tool that creates that snapshot of data. The tool, the computer program, is simply not a record. The typewriter that types a document is not a record. The final letter coming out of that typewriter is a record. The calculator with a print roll is not a record, but the final numbers on a paper tape that come out of that calculator are. That's why the Excel program is not a record to be disclosed. The Freedom of Information Act defines public record or file as any recorded data or information. That definition does not go on to say, including any computer program used to generate or create that recorded data or information. Mr. Lasser received the multi-page draft budget document in PDF format. It was something like 22 pages. He has not alleged that anything at all was missing from that PDF document that he received. So I respectfully submit, ladies and gentlemen, that this case should actually be dismissed to be consistent with four prior decisions of this commission. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Great. Mr. Lasser?
Yes, thank you. I would say that the town position, there are a few problems with the town's position. First, with regard to a PDF file, the rationale that the town has put forward was that we're to accept the presumption that the public agency is being forthright in providing all requested documentation. As Mr. Beecher says, I have not objected to the fact that I have not received everything, but I have no way of knowing whether I've received everything without access to the Excel document. And rather, basically, the town's position is simply put that the town, that the public must trust the public agency, or in this case, an elected official, but the elected official need not trust the public. And aside from the blatant, the obvious blatant and dangerous hypocrisy in that position, there's no statutory authority for this presumption. As stated in the case Office of Corporate Counsel, City of Hartford versus Information, which reads relevant part, the Freedom of Information Act does not require the commission or this court to embark upon an analysis of an applicant's motive for requesting certain information, requiring public agencies to articulate these non-statutory criteria will inevitably be the commission's questioning the agency's judgment on highly subjective issues concerning the importance to the public of the disclosure request. The second problem is that Attorney Beecher is creating a confusion between what is a program and what is an output of the program. The Microsoft even defines the Excel file as a file. It is not a program, and it is of no use to anyone unless they actually have the program from Microsoft Office. So it is not a document itself. Well, so that it's not the software itself. The software is the Microsoft Office program, and it provides the capability for one to use the file. It is no different than saying requiring to provide the information contained in a document in the form. The town suggests that they're only required to provide the information contained in the document in a format of their choosing. But as I've noted, the Excel document is the output of software, just as a recording is an output of a recording device. If there was an audio recording of a meeting, if deemed as a public document by this commission, your precedent shows that the public would be entitled to a copy of the recording. A transcript of the meeting would not be the same. If that same meeting were recorded by video, again, the public, by your precedent, would be entitled to a copy of that video. A transcript of that meeting purporting to relate the events that took place would not be the same as the actual video evidence. And it is the same thing with an Excel document. It is not, PDF is an extract of that. It is, by comparison, a transcript, not the actual document itself. Today, in the modern office environment, every organization creates records using various software programs. Many of those may never be printed, though they are shared within various agencies and create the basis for forming public policy. The precedent that the town of Brookfield is asking this commission to create would potentially hide from the public thousands of records critical to the public's understanding of the formation of public policy. It is clear to deny access to these records would be to undermine the foundation and rationale, the Freedom of Information statute. I think that's really all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. Attorney Reed, do you care to comment?
Sure, briefly, Mr. Chairman, Matthew Reed, the attorney that was the hearing officer in this matter. I appreciate the arguments of both Mr. Lasser and Attorney Beecher. However, this case, the more I analyzed our previous cases and what was requested in this case, in previous cases, there had been a request for the file to be altered from one format to another. And in this case, that simply was not what was being requested. They wanted the actual Excel file. And I do respectfully disagree with Attorney Beecher. This is not release of a computer program. This is not complicated. In fact, this is probably an example of the simplest disclosure of public records that could possibly happen, where you simply take the Excel file, drag and drop it into an email and push send, and you have complied with the request. I think that the requester is entitled to the Excel file, because within that Excel file, you'll have the calculations that created the outputs in the different areas of Excel. You may have multiple tabs. There's so much that's contained within the Excel file that would not show up on the printed version. And I think it would be a bad precedent for us to, especially in this day and age where we have so many people that are so familiar with the Microsoft environment and the manipulation of spreadsheets. I think for us to say that you could protect an Excel file out of fear that it may be manipulated by somebody else in the future is a faulty reliance, and it's not something that's covered for in the Act. And they cited no exemption for this record in the Act, and so I submit that it's not exempt. I understand his citation to other cases that in the past, as this area and technology has developed, there has been some findings on the behalf of the commission saying that agencies do not have to change files from one format to another, or they can pick the format and that's it. But in this case, there was no request to change the format. Again, this was an Excel file that existed on a computer, no different than a book on a shelf. If you walked into the office and said, take that book of minutes off the shelf and let me inspect it, their obligation is to allow you to inspect that record. And I think this is no different in that he wanted that particular Excel file. All that had to happen was for it to be cut and pasted into an email and emailed to the party, and he would have full access to the records. And in my mind, that is the embodiment of the overarching policy of the Freedom of Information Act, free and open access to that particular public record. Thank you.
Thank you. Do the commissioners have any questions for either the parties or Attorney Reed?
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Yes, I appreciate the comments by the hearing officer, but I disagree that when it comes to Excel files, unless the Excel file could be locked so that it's not manipulated, I think that the final the public document is whatever is the result of the numbers and how an Excel file works to get there. And maybe it's because I work in municipal government and deal with budgets, I seem to take the side of the town in this case, because somebody can't, just what the hearing officer said, somebody could theoretically manipulate the data that's there. And really, how the Excel file may manipulate the numbers, to use the word that was just used, isn't what's the end document. For the budget, the end document is the numbers at the end and how it gets there. To say that something is in the Excel format in the program is somehow not clear for the public, well, that's the decision of the Finance Committee when they prepare the budget for what the requester is asking for. He was provided a PDF, although it wasn't in the format he wanted. I agree. It's similar to Munis, it's similar to Excel, just because Excel happens to be very popular and Microsoft Office or suite item doesn't make sense that it's universal. I mean, it's probably the most popular. But I know that every time I try and log into Microsoft Office, they're trying to have you continue on. So basically, it's a per sale item. It's not a free item that's provided, or it hasn't been for years. So the fact that the end numbers of a budget in deliberation, as they're discussing it, unless you're saying that this is how the whole Finance Committee is using this, and each of them are manipulating the numbers and then sending it back to a central body. But if it sounds like if it's just a work product that's going on, developing a budget, I don't see how the Excel file, unless it's able to be locked and that cannot be manipulated, then I have no problem. If they can give them the file that they're able to maybe see how it is, but not able to manipulate it, then I have no issue with that. But it sounds like from the way the hearing officer is describing it, just click and sending whatever the document is, I just have no objection. Of course, I've been on the commission for years, and I was there for all these decisions that were referenced in 14, and everyone has its own nuance, but going out of our way to request this file, if there's a way that it can be locked, then I have no problem with it. Otherwise, the fact that the town gave them what the actual numbers were that were released to the public in a PDF form,
I feel should be good enough, and I will not be supporting this hearing officer's report in this case. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
It's the hearing officer. Can I just make one brief comment, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Attorney Reed. Go ahead.
I just want to point out that the request was not for the budget in that particular, it was for the Excel. He did make the request for the Excel file that was used to prepare the budget. So I just want to make sure that the order of the request is understood. He requested the Excel file, and there's no exemption for that Excel file or the data contained within that file, or at least no exemption was claimed. That's all. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Chavez. I have a question for Attorney Beecher.
Go ahead.
In paragraph 17, there's a reference to the respondent's argument that release of the Excel spreadsheet would create the potential for manipulation of the data and compromise of the integrity. And I'm just wondering, how is it different from the release pursuant to an FOI request for a Word document that could be also changed by the recipient of that document? I don't understand the point about the integrity of the data.
In the Llewellyn decision, the commission actually said it was okay not to disclose the Word document, that the PDF was fine. In the Slate decision, the commission said you have an option. You can release the Word document with the metadata, or you can make paper copies or PDF copies of not only the Word document itself, but the metadata that was asked for. I mean, in this particular situation, you are taking an executable program and handing it to a citizen, as opposed to giving them what the final set of numbers were on that Excel sheet. If he wants all the tabs, they were produced for him. It's not like something's being hidden, but he gets the snapshot in time that is the actual record, as opposed to getting the Excel program so he can play around with it and see whether the numbers actually add up. And I don't think that FOI policy should be set by citizens saying, well, we can't trust government. Well, you can add up the numbers and see if they add up. But no decision has previously said, yeah, you've got to disclose the Word document and nothing else. And it's no different than saying, I've just released all the emails from the finance director to the first selectman that weren't privileged. And someone says, well, how do I know that's all of them? I want to come in and sit at the desk and do a search on the computer. That's different. You can't do that. So that's the same principle here. So I agree with Mr. Streeter, and I'm glad he agrees with me.
Attorney Chavez?
I don't have anything further. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Do any of the other commissioners have anything to say?
Can I respond to Mr.
Yes, one second, though. One second, sir. Do any of the other commissioners have anything else to say?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Winkler. If that Excel was given to the individual, can he actually change any of the material that's there?
Yes.
Who are you asking that question to?
Whoever.
Well, Attorney Beecher, the answer is yes.
Attorney Beecher,
let's ask Attorney Reed that question.
Yes, the answer is yes. They could lock it with a password, perhaps, so that cells would be frozen. But there are ways around that once you have it in the Excel application. Again, this is a file. Attorney Beecher keeps referring to it as a computer program. Nobody is saying they're releasing or demanding they release a computer program. This is a file that's read with Microsoft Excel, which the requester obviously has, as many people do. That's all. No different than you could type out a memorandum and say town of X on it and say it was an official document. So when I evaluated this ability to manipulate. And one, again, that's not recognized within the Freedom of Information Act as a valid exception. But I think all through time we have confronted this idea that if the public gets a hold of these public records, they could manipulate them and make them look like they're something that they aren't. And it's simply not an issue that's part of the Freedom of Information Act.
Thank you.
Any further questions by any of the commissioners?
This is Commissioner Fuseschi. I have a question.
Yes.
So I would like to say for the record that I would trust the public with information. So I don't think that argument that you can't trust the public is a good argument. But my technological weakness is I have a question. Does the Excel file for either that is transferred over, does that allow the recipient to backtrack into the process of thinking that went on getting to the final product, which would be delivered in a non-Excel format? And if it does allow one who receives it, not only to work with the numbers that are there, which I would have the faith and trust in the public to do that, and I think in this modern world, we ought to give the public the power to work with members so they can better understand them. But the question to me is, does access to the file once transferred open up the process of numbers over time as they were created? And what would be the basis of calling that process a public? Would it be is there a risk of that? And has that been considered by both sides as to whether that the process of creation, those staff adjustments, et cetera, should be released or should not be released under the FYC?
Attorney Reed?
I would just say that was not an argument that was made. And
that's why I'm looking for that.
Right. I don't know that this being able to know the process, it basically shows you the numbers on each sheet if there are multiple tabs. One thing that you could see that you wouldn't see in a printout necessarily are the calculations. If they used calculations from one sheet to another sheet, say they do a 2.5% budget, a 3% budget, and a 6% budget, right? You wouldn't see the calculations if it was printed out. You would just see the results of those calculations. You wouldn't see formulas. So when you have the Excel file, you can see the work or functions that occurred to arrive at the numbers on the different sheets. But as far as the Excel file showing you thinking or anything along those lines, I guess only to the extent of your interpretation of why they are using certain multipliers.
Could you see, for example, that for stores, they started out at $100 but ended up at $10 in the final file?
I guess it would depend on what information they maintained within that file, if they kept that there. If they had a secret, it was basically a draft of the information that was ultimately put onto that they then created the budget from, I guess you would see earlier numbers, but again, for how they were doing the work in that particular municipality. And again, that wasn't an argument that came up
My question. That was not an argument raised by the town or either side, but that by the town in this case.
Not that I recall from the record. And again, I'll defer to Attorney Beecher if he has some input on that, if that's allowed.
Attorney Beecher?
Well, I would just say that I don't have the technical answer for that question. But similar to other Microsoft programs such as Word, there is metadata, just like we discussed in the Slate decision, that's potentially available, and therefore you can see who collaborated on documents and so forth. But I don't know the history of this particular document request. But
I could answer that.
Mr. Lasser?
Yes.
Yeah, you've been waiting patiently. Go ahead.
I have over 35 years experience in financial planning, CFO, various corporations. The only way that would be something that could be shown in an Excel file is if the people who were using the different columns for different versions. And so they started out, say, with department request of $100, per selectman's first cut at it, per selectman's second cut at it, third cut at it, fourth cut at it, final version. And each one would be a different column. And that would be potentially something that I think that refers, that results in what you're asking about. I don't believe that that's the case in this file, but I would have no way of knowing that.
And Mr. Lasser, did you have anything else to say?
Yes, I would, because Attorney Beecher continues to advance this confusion that Excel is a program. An Excel file is not a program. An Excel file is the output of a program. Once received, a person could change it, but that's no different than they could change a PDF file. The software is available to do that. For the software to change an file, a file could be manipulated as well. It's suggesting now that the FOI Commission should reconsider the distribution of video and audio files on its request, on request for that, simply because somebody might take the initiative and alter it in order to create some confusion. And again, I would point out the judge's decision in previous cases, or rules that for the committee to embark on analysis of is very subjective one. And finally, I would just give you an example of why I want the Excel file. For example, the town has over 30 different departments, and in each department there's salaries. And if I wanted to know, well, what are the total salaries in town, I could ask the town for that information, but since it doesn't exist in an existing document, they don't have to give me that information. But if I had an Excel file, I could easily sort it and then add up all the salaries and get an accurate answer. But if I had to take a PDF and manually add all those, 30 different numbers, it's very likely that I might mistype and then I'd get a different answer. And then I would be disseminating information that's incorrect, unwittingly, admittedly, but still. So I can't understand. The only objection that the town has to allowing an Excel file is that somebody might change it for some nefarious purpose. And that's an assumption that has no basis in statutory in law. And to allow that assumption to be preeminent in your decision, I think would be a very, very, very poor precedent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Chavez again. I just want to say that I do agree with the position of the hearing officer's decision and what Mr. Lasser just articulated, and in particular this question about the potential for manipulation. I don't think is unique because this is an Excel file, and I do not believe that the town is arguing, nor is it the case that somehow a change that a citizen could make to the file would somehow then create complications within the town's budgeting process. This is a file that's sent, obviously a copy of something. And so I don't think that there's no exemption that focuses on the potential for manipulation. And I don't think that's an issue here. So I'm supportive of the hearing officer's decision.
This is Commissioner Hankins.
This
is Commissioner Hankins. I would agree with Commissioner Chavez. Just because somebody may, on the off chance, manipulate it, so what? They can manipulate any type of document that they get. And also, public funds were used to create this method or document, and the public can take advantage of it and obtain a copy of it.
Thank you. Do any of the other commissioners have anything to say?
This is Commissioner Winkler, and I do agree with what's been said in supporting Mr. Reed's, Attorney Reed's report.
Thank you. Anyone else?
No, thank you.
Okay, I also agree with what the other commissioners have said, and if there is a manipulation of that document, the town maintains the original document. The unmanipulated document could be compared to any document that was manipulated. So I agree with the comments of Commissioner Fizet, Commissioner Chavez, Commissioner Hankins, and Commissioner Winkler. So is there any further comment? All right, with that, I'd entertain a motion.
It's Commissioner Hankins. I would make a motion to adopt the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Chavez?
Aye.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Aye.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Aye.
Commissioner Hankins?
Aye.
Commissioner Streeter?
No.
Commissioner Shaw?
Aye.
Commissioner Winkler?
Aye.
And Commissioner Egan? Aye as well. So the motion passes with one nay, and that was Commissioner Streeter. Thank you, everyone. We're going to go back to the. Thank you very much. We're going to go back to the matter, docket number FIC 2020-0161, Terrence Burton versus James Rabella, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, et al. Are you there, Mr. Burton?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, is anyone there for the State of Connecticut?
Yes, Attorney Ainsworth is here.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Burton, would you like to begin, please?
I requested a police report. I sent in the papers. They answered and said to send the money to receive the papers. I sent the money. Then they sent me something saying that they wasn't going to give it to me. Then I sent a letter to them. Then they said they was going to give it to me, and they gave me a redacted version of everything, pretty much of everything, sorry. My issue now is, did they give me everything? Because I don't believe they gave me everything. So that was my main issue on the matter.
Thank you. Attorney, counsel?
We gave him everything that we have with redaction.
Okay. Do the commissioners have any questions or comments? Mr. Burton, I just want to ask you, do you understand that the State of Connecticut is stating that they gave you everything with redaction? You're not complaining about the redactions, are you?
I was complaining about the redactions as well, but in our last meeting, they cleared up for me why certain things was redacted. So I kind of understood why certain things were redacted, but I still didn't feel I had received everything. That was the main thing that I said I was going to stick with, because they redacted everything, but they gave me my stuff, what I said, which I didn't understand. So if everything was redacted, why was I able to get my stuff? Or my statement, say it that way.
Attorney Reed, could you answer that question, please? Attorney Reed, are you there? Hello?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Very softly. I can barely hear you.
Okay, let me try something. Bye.
Can anyone else hear Attorney Reed?
No.
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 No. How's that? Is that any better?
That's better.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Attorney Reed, I was the hearing officer in this matter. This was, as he said, he did question the redactions. The records were ordered in camera for review. I reviewed the records and determined that they were redacted properly according to the exemptions that were claimed by the respondents. I don't recall at the time there being a question that there were any more records, or that of the records he had received, he felt there was more. And so that's all I can say on that. If that's a new complaint, it's not something that we addressed at the hearing that I recall. And so I stand by the report as submitted. There were records submitted in camera, and they were reviewed and found to be appropriately redacted.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions or comments?
This is Commissioner Barry.
Yes.
I was just wondering, maybe this goes to the respondent. What were the records that were sent redacted?
The question to the department?
Yeah. I mean, there's not many records in a file. I was just wondering what were the...
I don't have the file in front of me. I came here to say we support the decision as written, so I really can't get deeply into it. What I can say is that the basic topic were allegations of criminal activity against somebody that were completely unfounded, and that is an exemption that we employed in the file.
Was there an arrest?
No, there was not. Again, I haven't looked at the file lately. I don't have it in front of me. I wasn't expecting to be answering questions about the details, just that we support the decision as written.
Attorney Reed, do you have the answer to that question?
I'm looking through my notes here. I think there was some 30 pages, perhaps, that were disclosed. Some were NCIC collect information, signed statements of witnesses, uncorroborated allegations. Those were the exemptions that were claimed. But there was no, I don't see any notes about a lack of records. In other words, there's no indication that the requester was seeking records beyond what he had received. There was not an assertion that I don't think I have everything that there is. I don't see any note to that effect.
Okay. Mr. Burton, I thought that you had said, indicated that you were looking for more. You thought there was more.
Excuse me.
Did I hear you wrong?
No, sorry. Terrence Burton. I did request that to you, Mr. Reed, if you don't remember, you don't remember. But I did say that to you because when I asked you about the records that I didn't believe I got them all, I also asked for the in-camera review. So maybe you don't remember that, but because the conversation was more about the fact at that time, those conversations were more about the fact that what I was stating was that I sent them the stuff and I was telling you what I sent them. And if you remember, I asked you, did you get some of the stuff I sent? You told me no, but you wind up getting it, I guess, a few days after our hearing.
Correct.
But I did state that I didn't believe I had got all the records as well.
Correct. And I understand, again, this is a... Attorney Reed, that the testimony from the respondents through Attorney Ainsworth and the witness, Abby Levesque, was that all of the records that were responsive to the request had been provided and that there were certain records that were redacted. And then it was after that that I requested or ordered the records that were redacted to be submitted in camera for review. So, they testified that all the records responsive to the request had been provided. And so that holds a lot of weight for us. We had no reason to believe that there were further records. So I'm not sure. I guess that's a response to that question.
Thank you. Attorney Barry, any further questions?
I guess my only question would just be that sounds like if there wasn't a prospective law enforcement action, it sounds like there isn't one, as it sounds like. And then my only question would be just to make sure that there weren't any kinds of videos. If there were statements of, you know, of people, I was curious if there were videos, if it's confirmed that there were not any videos, I guess, if the respondent could confirm that.
I can't answer that question today. I'm not aware of any. It didn't come up during any during the hearing or preparations for the hearing. But again, I haven't seen this in a while, so I don't want to just, you know, tell you something and then be wrong. So,
Mr. Chairman, this is the hearing officer. I'm sorry.
Yes, Attorney Reed.
Commissioner Barry, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no problem. I was just going to ask you. I was going
to
ask you.
I just want to reiterate the request was for a report regarding, it was a request for a copy of a police report that was filed on January 4th, 2019 regarding alleged misconduct of a judicial marshal. That's what the request was.
Right. Yep. Paragraph three. Yeah. And when you were reviewing the documents, Attorney Reed, you didn't notice any reference to any videos of any.
There was no. For instance. Correct. Again, what was submitted to me was the records ordered in camera. And again, those were uncorroborated allegations, collect NCIC information, and statements, signed statements of witnesses.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do any of the other commissioners have anything to say? With that, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call vote. All those in favor, starting with Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Chavez.
Aye.
Commissioner Einhorn.
Aye.
Commissioner Fuzeci.
Aye.
Commissioner Hankins.
Aye.
Commissioner Streeter.
Aye.
Mr. Shaw.
Aye.
Mr. Winkler.
Aye.
And Owen Egan, aye. Passes unanimously. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you all.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
So, Colleen?
Yes, I'm here. We're on to item number three on the agenda, which is consideration of motion to reconsider final decision in James Hemingway versus Chief Police Department, Town of North Branford, and Police Department, Town of North Branford, docket FIC 2019-0472. And you should have the materials that Mr. Hemingway submitted in connection with this. I don't know if he is on the line, but as you know, these are typically not arguable unless some special provisions are made by the commission for argument. But at this time, I would recommend that you deny the motion for reconsideration as outlined in the UAPA. The reasons why a reconsideration is appropriate are if there is an error of fact or law that should be corrected, if there's material evidence that has been discovered, or other good cause shown. And I don't think that Mr. Hemingway has reached any of those hurdles to get a reconsideration. He seems very focused on an issue relative to the filing of an appearance in the case, and the timing of the appearance, and whether it was filed at all, whether it was sent by mail. There seemed to be a lot of concerns around this filing, which he did raise at the time that the commission considered the case, but it really is not material at all to the decision. And I don't think there's a need in any way to rehash it. As I said, it doesn't affect any of the FOI issues that were brought up in the decision. And the decision, I believe, also indicates that even if there was a problem with the appearance, that Mr. Hemingway didn't indicate how in any way he was prejudiced by not receiving the appearance. So with all of that in mind, I would recommend that you deny the motion for reconsideration.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions or comments?
This is Commissioner Hankins. Yes. Did look at this, and Attorney Murphy's correct about the perseverance on the aspect of the appearance, which makes no difference whatsoever. There was a second aspect of, in addition to the appearance, also the ability of talking about truthfulness of people that testified or something in the case itself, which goes to the trier of fact. The trier of fact can figure that out, and we take them at what they've said. And the case, I mean, I've read the case incident reports and everything that was attached to this, and I imagine that this case has somewhat to do with somebody trying to find out where somebody's wife was, and the chief state's attorney's office, an attorney from there, interceded, saying that this is in the case incident report that was provided, that they don't know the location of the wife and the children, but there's no court order to do so, and there's no, we can't use the Freedom of Information Act to root out the location of somebody. That's for a different forum. So there's no good cause to reconsider this matter.
Thank you. Does anyone else have anything to say?
Mr. Yes? Chairman, this is Commissioner Chavez. I also read the materials submitted on this motion, and I agree, as has already been stated, that the standards for motion for reconsideration haven't been met. And I also will note that when Mr. Hemingway argued at some length the first time around, I think it was last month, he did extensively address this question of the appearance and whether it was sent or not and the issues of truthfulness. So there is no reason here to grant the motion, and I would support, Attorney Murphy has suggested, denying the motion.
Thank you. Do any of the other commissioners have any comments or questions? All right, with that, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
I'd like to move that to take the consideration that the executive director has provided to deny the consideration of the final decision of FIC 2019-0472.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call vote. Of those in favor of the motion to deny reconsideration of this matter. Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Chavez?
Aye.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Aye.
Commissioner Fizeshi?
Aye.
Commissioner Hankins?
Aye.
Commissioner Streeter?
Aye.
Commissioner Shaw?
Aye.
Commissioner Winkler?
Aye.
And Owen Egan is aye as well. So the motion to reconsider is denied unanimously. All right. Attorney Murphy, Colleen Murphy.
Very good. Thank you. Under item four, I don't have a report under pending appeals. I'll yield to Attorney Perpetua if he's on and has anything he would like to report. This might be his last official report under pending appeals to you. So if Victor, if you're there, do you have anything to share?
Well, I'm here. I wish I had a little more to say. I thought I was going to be on the hot seat earlier, but I got lucky. I won't claim to have been devoting 100% of my time and attention to pending appeals over the last couple of weeks. I do know that we were scheduled to have an oral argument in the appellate court. It would have been my case. Next week, Alicia will be handling that, as I understand it, and she's seeking a postponement. But that's all, folks.
All right, thank
Victor,
you.
Commissioner Winkler, we wish you the best.
Absolutely.
Thank
yes.
You.
And this is Commissioner Fuseschi, and I'm sorry we overlapped not that many years, but I did want to say that the two reports that you had on the agenda today were very important ones, and I'm glad they got adopted, and they were very important.
Thank you.
And Victor, this is Commissioner Hankins. I know this is a minor point and not really relevant, but you have the best signature I've ever seen in my life. John Hancock would be envious.
I had a few words to say, but is this the appropriate time, Colleen?
We can get through everything else and under maybe under staff reports, Mr. Chairman, if you would like to say something in addition, that would be good.
I would.
Okay, under executive director's report, not too much new. The status of our operations, the one new thing is we have our first video hearing scheduled for next week, March 3rd. So we'll hear a report. I think Attorney Harmon is scheduled to handle that. So we're moving forward. Under relocation, I'm trying to negotiate a later date for our move. And at this point, it's been moved out to May 14th, but I'm going to see if there's any additional room there. And that's all I have under item 5. Under item 6, I'm really happy to report that we extended an offer for our staff attorney 1 position to Charles Hyde, who goes by Zach, I believe. I will send you a little more information on Zach when I have an opportunity, but he should be starting with the commission toward the end of March, and he's very excited to join our team here. So the second item under staff reports is what we've already touched upon. Attorney Victor Perpetua's last official commission meeting with us as an attorney here at the commission. And of course, Victor, you're welcome to join us anytime in these meetings, virtually or in person down the road. I would like the record to reflect our thanks to Victor for his service in 33 years to the commission. And I'll turn it over to you, to Mr. Chairman, if you have.
Yes, Victor, if you attend those meetings, you might be asked a question. So beware. you're going to be missed by the entire commission. I can't believe that you've been working for the commission for 33 years. When I researched that, I thought that's amazing. I understand that you're the longest serving staff member in the commission's history, starting with a start date of July 29th, 1988. That's fantastic. Quite an achievement. We have all witnessed your skills as a hearing officer, and we know that you are extremely bright and that you have done an excellent job. We know that you have heard many cases, some difficult, some not so difficult. The example today where there were several difficult cases that you worked on, and you did an excellent job getting right to the point. And I really appreciate your intelligence and the grace in which you handled all those files and all those hearings. Because of you, I know that we've won many, many victories in the Supreme Court, and that's quite a feat. You're an excellent trial lawyer, and you've worked in many courts at different levels. But we know that you've done an excellent job, both as hearing officer in the Superior Court and in the Supreme Court. As I said, we will all miss you. I know I will. We're sorry to lose such an intelligent, hardworking, experienced attorney, but we're happy that you are going to begin your retirement and you're going to be able to spend time with your family. You can now devote all that time to your music and your family, which I know is your love. So the state of Connecticut's loss and your family's gain. But thank you very much for all your service to the state and to the FOI Commission. God bless you, and we'll miss you.
Thank you, Owen.
Yes.
So thanks, Owen. We will, of course, anyone else is willing to, or who would like to pitch in, feel free. But we, as you all know, we'll have an opportunity to share a little more time with Victor in our little staff gathering on Friday. So you can say something now or wait till then. And Victor, the same with you. If you'd like to share something with us now, please feel welcome to do so, or wait, as is your pleasure.
My pleasure is to wait.
Okay. Very good. Okay.
What are we having for the party?
That's a surprise. There are few FOI secrets, but
okay,
that's one of them.
It's too bad we can't share a drink.
In terms of a legislative report, I'll just report one thing for now, and I'll see if Attorney Perlman would like to add to it. But we did have our initial budget presentation on Monday, done virtually, which was a really interesting experience, but it went very well. There were a few questions, not so much about our budget numbers, but about possible retirements in the future, and you know, would the commission be potentially impacted by that? And there were also a couple of questions about, not really budget related, but I think while they had me there, they wanted to ask me about quasi public agencies and the scope of coverage over them in the FOI Act. So I did the very tiniest of tutorials on how the law at present might apply to quasi-public agencies, but I think that's an issue that the legislature is clearly looking at. And that's all I have on that. There will be a working group or a subcommittee session that'll come up in the next couple of weeks, but I don't anticipate really any problems with that. Mm-hmm. And if Paula is there, we have a number of proposals that we are working on, and we're working with a few groups to try to get some compromise language on some proposed exemptions, and I'll let Paula, if she'd like to share anything related to that at this point.
No, there's not too much more to add. There are a couple proposals that were put forward by the by UConn that we're working with, and we had a meeting with several of their representatives last week, and so we're working to try to come up with some language that would be agreeable to all parties that have a stake in it. We're meeting with legislators. The hearings may be picking up. The deadline for the committees, it's mid. Most of them are mid March. It's been a little slow going with the GAE committee at this point, but I foresee there being a few public hearings at which we have to submit testimony or testify over the next couple of weeks. So that's it for now.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paula. And we're on to new business. I have none. So unless
hey, Colleen.
Questions, yes.
Commissioner Ryan Berry. I was just going to ask Paula, are there any bills dealing with remote hearings of legislative bodies and rules for those?
No bill specifically dealing with, well, there are ones dealing with the public agencies. One of them would codify the governor's executive order that I believe it's 7B that deals with conducting meetings electronically. There's another that has more general concept language there's another one that has more specific language. It was a proposal that was put out there by the governor's office. But I believe those really, and Colleen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think those deal specifically just with, you know, municipal agencies, executive branch agencies, not like a legislative body.
Okay. I've just got some questions locally from a couple towns about how they're supposed to be conducting their meetings. Should people be on screen, off screen? Do they have to announce, you know, roll call votes, or, you know, can, you know, it's just some, I guess, some questions have come across.
Are those specific, you know, to local boards or commissions? Is that who's asking
yeah.
the question?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like okay. The local, you know, town councils, you know?
Oh, okay. So there are these two proposals out there. Yes, I can email you. I don't have the bill number off of the top of my head, but there's one that's more specific. Like I said, it has language that was proposed through the governor's, one of the governor's bills. The other one is just more general concept. So that's not going to, I don't think that's not going to help too much. It just really, references back to the governor's current executive order, but the proposals do address that, you know, what's required in terms of people participating and identifying themselves.
Okay.
But I can I can forward the commission those proposals if you'd like to take a look at them.
That'd be great. Yeah, thanks. Okay. Thanks, Paula.
You're welcome.
And in that vein, we are setting up a meeting with some people in the governor's office to talk about its the scope of the codification and just the practical elements of it. We want to be in support of it, but we want to make sure that the practical side is considered and that it's clear to everybody, because it'll still be a new world. And I think everybody's been allowing for a little relaxed process right now, but if this is codified, we're going to want to make sure it's pretty clear what the rules of the road are. So we'll be working on that and keeping you up to date.
Thank you. Anything further? All right. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move to we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second, Commissioner Winkler.
I'll take a roll call in favor of adjourning. Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Chavez?
Aye.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Aye.
Commissioner Fizeshi?
Aye.
Commissioner Hankins?
Aye.
Commissioner Streeter?
Aye.
Commissioner Shaw? Commissioner Shaw? Commissioner Shaw? Commissioner Winkler?
Aye.
And Owen Egan, aye. Thank you all. Thank you, everybody on the staff. You did a great job.
Thank you, everyone.